Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. We have a very special guest here. It's part of our Fan for the Win. It's the Fans Day of Giving to the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. We'd love for you to get in on it as well. You go to 937thefan.com, click on Fan for the Win, and donate. It's such important work. And with us here is Rhonda Fleming, who is the Chief of Prevention, Intervention, and Outreach at the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Rhonda, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm glad to be here.
Of course. And for taking time out of your day to show up in person was extra special. Now, you've been doing this. You've been with the agency for over 30 years. And I'm wondering if you can speak to the progress that has been made on some of the key issues for what you people do and sort of the work ahead for you.
Yes, certainly. Thank you so much. When I started at Women's Center and Shelter in 1990, I was one of 30-some employees. I don't remember if I was 33 or 34. Our growth has been fantastic over that time. And every time I say something about being fantastic and you're doing intimate partner violence work, it has both sides of it. I feel fantastic that we've had the growth. I feel fantastic that we've been around for 50 years. And then I feel sad that there is still that great need for us to be around. Mm. However, what I have seen over the years in the growth is the collaboration with other organizations, working with multiple providers who do social service and human service work, as well as with police officers, as well as with judicial systems, as well as with anyone who could come in contact with us, just about anyone, a victim of intimate partner violence. So having that collaborative work has really made a difference. We also have a couple of national programs that we work with right now, including something called LAP. It's the initials for Lethality Assessment Program, and it was out of Minnesota. So that means that when police officers go to the home to intervene and they can see that there is an obvious need for the victim to be able to get in touch with Women's Center Shelter, they can have that happen right there on the spot. So those are things that I've seen that have really grown. And where to go from there is to continue something like what we're doing here today. Again, thanks for having me. Being able to just increase the awareness everywhere. We have school programs. That's what I was hired to do, to bring in school programs for elementary school programs. So being able to increase awareness all throughout the community is something else that is really important to where we need to continue to go in the future. So, yeah.
And you would have thought by now that this would be decreasing and not increasing. And it's a sad state of affairs that it does. And so, you know, I'm sure there are women out there who are scared, who are in situations like this and don't know what to do. What advice do you have for them, knowing that there's an organization like yours available to make things better?
Thank you so much. I think one of the first things to do is to find someone who you trust that you can share that information with. But that's critical. Someone you trust who will not go back and tell the person who's using power and control, the person who's using abuse, or even a family member. You have to be really particular and safe. And I always encourage, we have a 24-hour hotline. Please call our hotline at any time. You know, for some victim survivors of intimate partner violence, they have to call at 2 a.m., I'm sorry, because that's when the abuser is either really asleep or out of the home because he or she may work during the overnight hours. So find out what's the safest way for you to, if you're ready and you're going to make plans to exit, what's the safest way to do that? If you're staying in a situation, what's the safest way to do that? Because everybody's not going to leave. So calling the hotline can help with developing what's a safety plan. Again, either if you're leaving or staying.
What stops them from leaving when they know it's a bad situation?
I think that's a wonderful question. We get asked that a lot. And I always tell people, if we each in this room had a marker and walk around this room, we could come up with 1,000 reasons why somebody stays, right? So some people stay because of resources. You know, maybe I've been in this relationship for 10, 12, 15 years and I'm not working. I don't have a job. I don't have an income. So that could be a reason for sure. We have children together and I've always believed I wanted my children to be raised by both parents. That could be a reason that I stay. I've left before and it didn't work out for me and now I'm back and I don't want to leave again. But the other answer I always give to that also is because I love this person and because I'm afraid of this person. So because of the fear, I might not leave the situation because I'm not sure what may happen. Remember, there's most likely been multiple threats about me leaving. If you think you're going to leave, this is going to happen. I know we may all be familiar with the term, if I can't have you, nobody can. That's a threat for death. You know, so there's a lot of reasons why somebody could stay. Fear and love are amongst those reasons also.
Yeah, as the father of a teenage daughter, this is something that is concerning. So my question would be, what are some early in a relationship warning signs?
That's it. Thank you. That, you know, looking for differences. So I would say early in the teenage years, this happens through all ages, but particularly I would say in the teenage, look for a lack of interest. I was real active. I was on cheerleading squad. I was on the debate team. I was real active. And all of a sudden, I don't want to do those things anymore. I have 6, 7 friends. Well, I don't want them to come over for a sleepover. I used to dress very trendy. And I was always in your pocket, Dad, asking, can I go to the mall? Can I get this? I'm not dressing like that. You see me in sweats a lot now. Those are some early on signs to look for. And I always advise parents, ask your child, because if they know you, they may not answer, but if they know you're asking, you're paying attention. And that can make the difference for when they are more ready to say something, that they know they can come to you. So do ask questions.
I think that's great, the communication element of it. If it's not there, somehow, some way, as a parent, you have to make sure, right, that if it's your daughter or a friend, whatever, that someone is willing to be open and listen. But you... do you have to do that in advance sometimes if you suspect it, but you don't know for sure, just kind of throw it out there?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because you can do it in so many different ways. You don't have to make it personal about your child. You can say, you know, I read something the other day, or I saw this information, or this was on on our radio station, you know. I'm just curious, how would you handle something like that? So I don't have to ask you directly, are you in this kind of relationship?
And sometimes that works the opposite way, doesn't it? If you come on too strong, in other words, say, hey, something's going on, and you may push them into denial.
For sure. And with teenagers, we all remember being a teenager, we wanted to make sure that we were the adult in the situation. We were the one who knew all the answers. You know, we wanted to really get our own independence. So I don't want to go to mom and dad who's been telling me ever since I was born what to do and what not to do. So I'm 13, 15, 16. I'm not coming to you right now because I want to handle this on my own. So, yeah, but again, letting them know I'm here for you. And I really want to be able to be that person for whatever goes on in your life. And let me just squeeze this in. I'm sorry. If you see something, so your child is around the person who they're in this relationship with and you see something, a good line to say is, you know, it scared me when they yelled at you like that. You ever get scared when they yell? Just say something. Yeah.
Good advice.
Rhonda Fleming, the Chief of Prevention, Intervention, and Outreach at the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Rhonda, we really appreciate your time today. And I'll leave you with this question. What can people do to get more involved?
Thank you. Please go to our website at wcspittsburgh.org. We always have updates on our website. We are right now in the midst of our Adopt a Family season, where we are collecting gift cards that we can give to our residents, our non-residents, people who have used our services over the last year, women who've used our services over this year, can come in, and gift cards allow for the women to have dignity. So instead of saying, here's a red blouse for your daughter, they may not want a red blouse. They can go to the store and buy what they want if they get gift cards. So we're always looking to receive the gift cards. And thank you, because your donations have really helped us already because of this station. So thank you so much that they're continuing to increase. So
I'm really glad we can help, and that people can go to our website to help. Again, and that's 937thefan.com. Click on Fan for the Win and donate. Rhonda, thank you so much again for coming out.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Appreciate the work you do.
Thank you both. Yeah, I appreciate it.
She's been doing it for a long time, and clearly you're a person who can make a big difference. So thank you.
Bob, we turn our attention back to the Penguins with Jay Caulfield. I know you wanted to say something about them. Are you believing in this little situation here?
I believe that they needed to make a correction, and they needed to move quickly to do it, and I think they've done that, given this. And listen, Joe, these teams that they've beaten are pretty good teams, starting with Vancouver. A lot of people think they're a Stanley Cup contending team. They essentially blew them out, late comeback by Vancouver. Then they go and they beat Boston in Boston, never easy to do. And then they come home and take on Calgary on back-to-back nights, and they essentially blow them out. Had a big lead last night against the Stanley Cup champions. Let them get back into it. But the point is, those are tough games. They came away with four wins. That's a step in the right direction. And now they just have to keep it going and stop the six-game losing skids.
I think part of this is just a guess, has to do with the night. What was the milestone that Sid got recently?
That was his 600th goal.
Yes.
It took a while.
It took a while, and it seemed like such a sad night because they got hammered that night.
Right.
And I have to wonder if the guys in that room just feel like, are we letting this guy down? A guy who fights for himself half the time out on the rink, and just a guy who means what he does to everybody in that room. That felt like such a sad night for him to have a milestone like that, and for him to have difficulty being happy about it because they got blown out. Was it the Utah Hockey Club that night?
Yeah, it seems a team they should have beaten badly.
I mean, I would feel, and Jay Caulfield talks about this when guys don't stand up for Sid, I would feel like I let him down. And it feels like that was rock bottom. Like, I don't know why they're making this comeback suddenly, but I think I would feel like I let that guy down. What an embarrassing night that was. And since then, at least, Bob, we see some fight.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to see, fight back. And especially, you know, it's all going to come down to goaltending. It always does. Who has the best? Tristan Jarry has shown that now, over the past couple of games, that he is slowly getting back to the form they need him to be at. And quite frankly, they had no choice but to get him in there. The money they're paying him, they can't let him sit forever. I still believe Blomqvist is their future, but this is a guy who's very important to them right now. And if they're going to get into the playoffs, and the goal is do that, if they get in, they could be an interesting team to watch in the playoffs, given all the high-end Hall of Fame talent that they have on the roster.
Coming back, I want to ask Bob if he agrees. I think it's going to be a blowout win here. So does Mark Cabali for the Steelers in this revenge game against the Browns. I think it's going to be an organizational win. I do. One team is the Steelers, and one team is the Browns. And what did Juju say all those years ago, Bob?
The Browns is the Browns.
Bob, I would like to commend City Limits for doing yeoman's work, and I don't even know what a yeoman is, but he's been wonderful today, hasn't he?
It's a good question. What is a yeoman? But a yeoman's work has been understood. Someone who is there grinding minute in, minute out.
Are you developing a nice relationship with Limits here?
Not really, but that's for you to have.
What's the problem, that? Limits? What's been going? What's the disconnect? No,
I love Bob very much.
Here it is. It's about, hey, Bob. Hey, Bob, put your wooden teeth in, all this
he's
crap.
He's threatening you on those sound clips with your very relationship with him. Don't be sabotaged by that, or kidnapped, the word I'm looking
he's
for?
He's fine.
Hey, Bob.
He's no longer fine.
He came right back with
That's all that will be played.
The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bob, what's your early gut feel on this game? Mine has been, for a while, blowout. You?
Yeah, I think the same thing, but I thought that the first time around. I thought in Cleveland they were going to go against the trend of falling into that Thursday night malaise that is Cleveland. But then the weather changed. I thought they'd win easily. I did. I thought they were – this is the time for them to do it. Had a great opportunity coming off the win against Baltimore, put a little space. It did not work out. So this time I would expect the same. Now the lines are a little bit different. If you look at the line on this one, it's going The last I checked was 7 or 7.5. It started at 6.5. I told you at the beginning of the week, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 8+. It's heading in that direction because I think people understand, you know, Denver, Monday night, travel across, bad loss for the Browns. They got to play again. Pittsburgh has redemption on its minds. So I think this has every earmark of a team that
should blow
out. What's
the spread right now?
7. Depending on what you look. Yeah. Went up from 6.5 to 7. Some books have it at 7.5. I told you, I wouldn't be surprised that it would climb just because of the way people are going to perceive this game. Yeah. But it's still a North rivalry, so I mean, who knows? But I would, if you're asking me, I think they should win it comfortably.
I think they are going to be absolutely primed emotionally for this game. I really do. And I can't wait to watch the Hard Knocks episode on this one because that game in Cleveland, there was a lot of extra stuff, right? There, uh-huh. And you know, people say, well, what does that matter? The greatest athletes I've ever heard of and watched were always looking for an extra emotional edge. So it must mean something to those guys. And if it means something to those guys, I think it means something. And Newsom talking about Pickens, and Myles Garrett has gone out of his way, I think, to antagonize TJ.
No question about it. And I think that has been stashed away by TJ Watt.
Oh, I think he's going to be the star of the game. When I asked the big boy earlier who's going to be the star, Myles Garrett was the best player on that football field a couple weeks ago. I think that's going to be TJ this time around. Plus, I don't think you can underestimate the effect of going all the way out to Denver, playing a game like that, and then coming all the way back across the country and coming here on a short week. I think they're going to smash their faces in, Bob.
Yeah, I think.
How does 34-13 sound?
I think it's going to be a double-digit win. Let's put it that way. How that turns out, I don't know, but it won't be a game that you're in the fourth quarter thinking, oh my, it's in jeopardy. No, I don't think it'll get to that point. I think the Steelers will dictate terms and take care of business.
Wrapping up with Hard Knocks from last night, I'll end where I started, that Mike Tomlin is the star of the show, and he's a star. He's a television star. He is, because everything he does is compelling. He's a compelling character. It opened up, the show did, with all four coaches in the AFC North, each addressing their teams at large in an assembly-like setting. And what you had was three football coaches and a movie star. Unintended movie star. Tomlin can be sitting there eating Fritos as he was watching film. He's just a compelling character, period. He is. I find him to be, and I feel like a lot of people do.
And he was the star of the show. It's an attractive quality for people who may later think about, should I sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Maybe that, you know, they look at that and say, that's the kind of coach I want to play for. Who knows? But, it's in his case, I know that reality television is not reality when someone knows there is a camera in your face and you're mic'd. But I think he tries to be himself all the time. And that just is how he is.
Yes.
A lot of the sayings you'll hear on that show, we've heard 1,000 times here in the city, right? But that's for some people, and they may not have, and they may come away thinking
it's Tomlin,
the same time.
Yeah, it's Tomlin becomes way more likable outside of that Tuesday news conference when you see him as he really is. Mm-hmm. You know, you see him interact with players and people in general who aren't media people. He's just, I find him very likable, extremely compelling. I just think that's shared by a lot of people limits, and I think he is so clearly the star of this Hard Knocks, it's undeniable.
That was clear and evident to me just in the first 10 minutes where it seemed like the camera was always on Tomlin. He was the focal point. Whenever, I watch a lot of reality TV, and the one thing that
Housewives?
No, Big Brother, mainly. And everybody in reality TV, which is what this is on Hard Knocks, they look for a narrator. Mike Tomlin is their narrator for Hard Knocks, mm-hmm. and it was so apparent in the early portion of the show.
I love when he went up to Hayward because he'd been pounding all week that they had to watch the running back with the Bengals. And he's like, you think I made that stuff up? He used a different word. And he said, hey, old man. And they walked off the field together at halftime. That part of it was great. The other parts, it's tough to incorporate four teams. The Ravens, I left with nothing other than that John Harbaugh is cold all the time. Did you see that part,
yeah.
Bob?
You know, a lot of those guys are like, you know, what you would expect from coaches going through the normal procedural things and doing it in a very kind of distant way. You know, here it is. This is what we're doing. And then they give you a little of the rah-rah. So there is a difference there with Mike. There's no question about it.
What'd you make of Joe Burrow buying a Batmobile? He bought a $2.9 million Batmobile. What do you do with that, Limits? Do you head out on the town in your Batmobile?
So he said there, maybe it was a post that was made, that there is 10 in the world, and Joe Burrow was one of 10 to be able to get this Batmobile. I guess other than Halloween, you just drive around and be cool,
Bob,
I don't know.
Did you make a bid on that?
No, I that kind of stuff. Now, maybe it's a different, you know, when you're younger and you have money and you do all these things, you think you can do whatever you can do, and there's so much money, you can. But for me, I've always regarded vehicles as, hey, I want a nice one, but all it has to do is get me from point A to point B. I don't need any of these extreme expensive cars. And these young guys who have a lot of money are buying whatever they can buy. Good for them.
15-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Bob, the Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa, bought me one of these
Stanley cups. That's your first Stanley cup?
It's a keg-like water. What is it? What is this thing?
It's like a Stanley cup. That's what they call it, I think. I don't know if that's the same manufacturer.
It's a gigantic water bottle made of tin. And I've been jealous of other people, but I also thought that that's ridiculous.
Those are expensive.
But I love it.
From a cup point of
view. Now that I have one, if I fill it up once, it guarantees that I'm going to get enough water during the show. I love this thing. Look, I'll put it up here for everyone to see.
Yeah, it's very nice.
If you're watching on YouTube or on The Fan at 93.7.com, I'm really happy with this. And the other thing I took from today's show is the general telling us that the Skeens card has not been found yet and telling you that your Jackson Merrill card is worth $15. Are you proud of that? And are you going to cash in?
I'm going to keep it until Jackson Merrill decides not to be Jackson Merrill and goes into a slump or something. Yeah, I'm going to keep it.
I'll tell you why I'm angry now. Would you guys like to hear? Other than at Bob?
Sure.
Yes.
Jim Bowden does great stuff for The Athletic. He has the headline is seven big trades I'd like to see happen at the winter meetings. So, of course, I go to it scrolling through, hoping to see a pirate trade, right? A proposed pirate trade.
Because you know Joe wants to trade Mitch Keller, Bob.
Hey, it depends on if they get something good in return. I'd keep that stuff the way it is.
That's a very inaccurate summation of my feelings, Limits, and I resent you for saying that.
I apologize for saying it. But no, you do want to trade Mitch Keller. We've had this conversation over and over.
I don't want to trade Mitch Keller. It makes it sound like... And even Jared Jones,
it makes it sound like,
I'd love to get those guys out of town.
But your point being, if you want a bat, you're going to have to give something up to get one. He's signed at a very nice contract for some people.
He could
fill a void in any rotation.
Yes.
So
that's
I understand
exactly
that.
That's exactly it, Bob. But that's beside the point. I scroll down to number three. Never saw the Pirates. And this is, again, a proposal. This is not a trade that happened. This is Jim Bowden. Number three, Reds get... Luis Robert Jr. from the White Sox. The Reds could use one more bat for the middle of their lineup, and Robert, who comes with 3 years of team control, would be the perfect fit. Why can't the Pirates go get him then? Aren't they in here? Why won't they make the trade?
Well, they were rumored to be liking Luis Robert and at least making a call during the offseason and during the deadline.
Were you surprised that they lost out if they even bid on Aroldis Chapman? He goes to Boston for essentially the same salary.
Yeah.
Nah. I'm okay with that. He was good, but would you trade Keller for Luis Robert?
Luis Robert had a bad year last year.
I know. That's 14 homers, 23 steals, 224. I wouldn't, but I would still like. I mean, if I got the 223 version,
well, that's where he had like 30 plus home runs, didn't he?
Yeah, he had an 855 OPS with 38 homers, 36 doubles, 20 steals. Yes, that's it. That's at least the profile of the type of guy that I would trade for Keller. Give me the hitting version of Keller, a good player, not a superstar, but a good player who's in there every day helping your lineup.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. Limits, I don't want to get rid of him. He's a nice man.
Yeah, I know you don't, but this team needs bats so badly, especially if there's a golden rule, Bob. You know, you can't have the Alika Williams bat in the ninth inning. You need somebody.
Listen to this, Bob and Limits. Number five, Astros acquire Cody Bellinger from Cubs. The Astros have needs at first base and center field, and Bellinger would solve either position. Gold glove caliber at first base, plus defender and center. He's had a down year, which makes him look like Mickey Mantle on this Pirates lineup. He still had an OPS of, what, almost 800 with 18 homers? Come on. The Cubs have, well, who would they trade for him?
Doesn't say, does it?
No, if the Cubs can move Bellinger's contract, it would free up money to spend elsewhere. Blah, blah, blah. What is this? Doesn't he give us a guy that they trade to them, Bob?
No, you know, the bottom line is it won't be an active.
Would you
one
trade Mitch Keller for Cody Bellinger?
Well, I wanted to sign Cody Bellinger when he was a free agent. That way you could have had both.
Yeah, he's got a player option. Let me see here. He exercised his 27 point, he's out of their price range, probably.
Well, that's because
they shouldn't have a price range.
They shouldn't have a price range. It should be money.
I agree.
That's it.
He exercised $27.5 million for 25 and has a player option for 26. I don't know. So you get him for what? 1 year. Are we really going into 2025, Bob? How old are we? We're catching up to Ron.
It's about what you think if your mind says you're younger, you're younger. We've got a big year this year, Joe. We got the U.S. Open coming to Oakmont Country Club. Looking forward to that.
Do you have anything going on there, Bob, where you and I could play around leading up to the tournament and do a show there?
You'll never get close to the golf course.
Why?
Because they're
not
impossible.
Even with you? Can
no.
I with you? Are you going to get close to the golf
no,
course?
No, it's impossible. They're going to have players coming in. The membership wants to get as much rounds.
Can they bring us in during the winter?
You can look at pictures on the wall. Yeah, sure.
Why can't we play?
You can't play.
Even with you?
No.
What if you bring Mario?
Mario doesn't need me. He can do whatever he wants.
I know, but you need him, and I need you and him.
Okay.
Will we do a show from Oakmont for this?
Well, possibly. I know RTV and KDK, we're going to be pretty much out there every single day anchoring from there. So.
Will they let us hit at the range?
No.
Not even that?
Could I watch? Could I go as like a fan?
Got to buy a ticket. Sure.
When are we done? Limits 50 or?
Yeah, we have
okay.
a minute.
Goodbye. Fan weather brought to you.
That's an abrupt fall off of
I know,
the cliff.
I don't want to get in trouble. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com, high 38 with cloudy skies. Bob, surely if we do shows there, they'll let us hit from the range. They're
no,
listening right now.
You're not going to have
Can I hit from the range at Oakmont no. in the winter if you're listening out there?
In the winter, probably, yes.
Yeah. Will you help me do that?
Maybe.
I thought the tickets were gone.
What tickets?
They may be.
For Bob, you can help us out and get us some tickets, maybe?
I don't know.
Bob?
I used to have more clout in that than I do now.
Can we do a show from Oakmont at the Open?
I'm sure we can. Media Center?
Yes.
Set up beautifully.
Get a little merchandise there? I mean, buy it, of course. And just one shot at the range, Bob,
no.
or a putt? Can I take one putt?
Nope.
Good night, Bob. Good night, Limits.
Joe.